Good morning. Really glad to be here today and worship our God together. Let's turn our attention to this loved Psalm, Psalm 23. You can find it in your Bibles or on page 11 of your worship booklet. And then two gospel words that follow. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus speaking in John 10, recorded in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And from Revelation 7, speaking of those who've come out of the tribulation before the throne, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. This year during Advent, during the 4 weeks of Advent, we have been asking the question, what is it that we most need in life? And then we've been looking at how is the coming of Jesus Christ God's answer to that need. And this, on the fourth and final week of Advent, this Lord's Day morning, I want us to consider our need for security. For security. We are well tuned, I think, of this need. We face it regularly. We ask ourselves these questions often. Whether it be because of a sudden diagnosis of ill health, or an unexpected injury, or an unpleasant interaction with a neighbor, or a coworker, or a classmate, or a stolen identity online. Things happen that cause us to ask the question, am I safe? Are my children safe? Is my home, my business, my church safe? We face so many concerns for security and safety in life these days. They're all questions we struggle with. There's two related questions, I think, that we wrestle with. The first is that one, am I safe? Am I secure? But the other one's related, but it's just as powerful in our lives. Do I feel safe? Do I feel secure in my world? That leads us to our first point today. If you turn to page 12 and want to follow the outline, the Scriptures are honest with us. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a dangerous world. Now, that's not the only thing that can be said about this world. There's many wonderful things, enjoyable things, delightful things we can say about this world. But this is a true thing to say. The world in which we live is dangerous. But as persons made in God's image, we function best. We are able to flourish when we are free from danger and threat. And when we have feelings of being safe and stable and free from anxiety and worry. When we're safe and when we feel safe, that's when we can live the lives we are called to live. We were created to live. But so often, as we walk through moments of our life, our week, We face dangers, or we're full of fear and anxiety about possible dangers. And these are real issues in our life. In several past years, both my wife, Bonnie, and my daughter, Hannah, when they're teaching middle schoolers in educational situations, they both had to train and practice with students those active shooter drills. Our daughter, Hannah, one time used that training when the high school beside the public charter school she was teaching in had an event that was potentially risky, was violent, a gun-related event that was happening in the high school next door, and she had to hunker down in a locked classroom, in out of sight of the windows for several hours, not sure what was going on outside the classroom, with middle school children. For several hours, they were trying to be quiet. Not an unusual situation in our world. Many others in your own personal life, when you begin to wonder, when you face those feelings of being at risk. And we know that happens because, as we've looked on these different weeks at our need, this need arises because of what Genesis 3 at the beginning of the scriptures tell us happened when we rebelled against God. It led to a change in our condition. I love how our catechism, our church's summary of what the Bible teaches, is put into a question and answer form, not only for children, but as a good teaching tool of training us in what the Bible thinks. And in question and answer 19 of our shorter catechism, it talks about that change of our condition that came when after our rebellion against God. It says this: all humanity, all of us, by our fall, by our rejecting God, turning away from God, what happened? We lost communion with God. That's one thing. Now it seems like there's just a cloud that we can't reach God. We lost communion with Him. But more, we also, when that happened, we were put under His wrath and curse. And so what happened? We were made liable. That means it's a possibility now for us. What? All the miseries of life, liable to all the miseries of life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. You see, now we do face real threat of misery in life, the real threat of death, the real threat of eternal pains forever in hell. Which means that enemies and injuries, illnesses and diseases all can harm us now. All can jeopardize our security, our well-being. And as we turn to Scripture, not only is it honest about that, but we find that's not only a modern problem. Sometimes we think it's just, well, it's today. It's so worse today. But no, this is a humanity problem, not simply a modern problem. And as we read this psalm today, a love psalm, one that we read through and we take comfort in, but we don't really sometimes deeply look at it, it reveals to us that even this ancient king, so far from us historically, this ancient Israelite king, King David, felt it and knew it as well. We know that from the record of his life. Just a few moments tell us that he lived in times of danger and faced much trouble. 1 Samuel 18, the king at the time was Saul, the king before David. And Saul, twice in that chapter, tries to pin him to the wall with a spear because he's so angry and he wants to kill him. In the next chapter, David has to sneak out of a window and hide himself away from Saul, who is intent and remains intent on killing him, even trying to get his own son, Jonathan, to be part of putting David to death, though Jonathan refuses. It continues until 1 Samuel 22, David has to flee out into the wilderness and to caves and wild places, and yet Saul still tried to pursue him there. In danger and threat in life. But we know that David also struggled with those fears and those anxieties of possible threat, like we do as well, because he wrote about it a lot in the Psalms. So many different emotions in the Psalms, but this too is there. If we look simply at this psalm, and as we read between the lines, that is to say, we're used to hearing what he said, but why is he wrestling with these things? Why is he saying these things to us? What's in his mind that would bring him to want to confess these things? We see him wrestling with his own fear and anxiety for his lack of security. Look with me, page 11, maybe just lay it out there, and look at what he's saying. In verse 1, he begins by this confession of the Lord being his shepherd, so he won't want. But why is he saying that? Because he's acknowledging, he's recognizing that he's not self-sufficient. That he can't, there are real wants, that is the language of needs, that he lacks on his own. He needs help, he needs someone. In this case, the Lord, to provide, because he will lack without it. In verse 2, he indicates the need for sustenance, for drink, for food, for safe places to enjoy them. In verse 3, he admits that he has had times when he needs his soul to be restored. Have you felt that? Need for soul, your soul to be restored. What is he meaning here? When he speaks of his soul being restored, it's a phrase that means he needs to be brought back. To be brought back. What? Into the Lord's way. To be brought back from the danger of his own sin. Do you remember? You remember when the Lord had to send the prophet Nathan into his life. The prophet Nathan to bring the light of the Word of God. To bring him back from his sin. To bring him back into the way of the Lord. And David said, I've needed to be brought back. Needed my soul restored. In verse 4, he goes on to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, and you know exactly as I, you know as well as I do, when he says, even though I walk, you know what he's saying. Because I have need of walking there, because I go there so often, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And what does that mean, that phrase, the valley of shadow of death? We tend to think it means, oh, when I die. And there are parts of what his comfort here that's true in that moment of death, but by implication. Because what he's saying here when he says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's using a phrase that really literally can be translated or means when I walk through deep shadow, when I walk through deep darkness. It's used of walking through thick gloom, deep anguish of life. And what David is acknowledging here is something that you have faced, that I have faced. He's acknowledging that he has walked through and must walk through many days that are difficult, that are troubling times, when life feels more like death than living. When it feels more like darkness than light. And David says, I've walked through those days and I've faced that. That same kind of phrase is used a couple times in the Psalms, the same Hebrew word here. One time is in Psalm 107. Some who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death were prisoners in affliction and irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. And David says, I've had times that feel like that. Despair, difficult times. Have you had times like that yourself? Maybe you're in a moment like that right now. And David knew that struggle as well. Point one is, the Scriptures recognize, and we recognize and admit our need, that we live in a dangerous world and we fear and we face things that rob us of our security. And when we are ready to recognize that and admit that, I think we're ready for God's answer. And that answer is found in David's description of the Lord himself being his shepherd. Now, before we look at two things for the rest of the sermon about that shepherding care, let's notice that shepherds were keepers of sheep and goats. Yes, and we can learn a lot about what he is saying to us by looking at that. There's many resources, there's wonderful books that open up what was a shepherd's life like in that day. Wonderful things, helpful things, those images that David's drawing on here to speak. But the thing that may not be as apparent to us as we read this, that it's a little more foreign to us in our day, is that when David uses the shepherd image here, it is a royal image that he is speaking about. It is an image that was used to describe kings and their work in David's world and in David's day. We're used to hearing shepherds who are out in the fields at night, and remember in the Roman world in the first century, they were despised, they were a group that were not highly respected, and we're amazed that heaven would reveal the birth of the Son, not in the palaces of the world, but among the weak and the lowly. But what David is doing here when he speaks of the Lord as shepherd is drawing on a more positive, a different image. He's drawing on this royal image of a king who cares and governs and protects his people. Many rulers in the ancient Near East describe themselves in this way, as shepherds. Mesopotamian records often include the image of a local ruler as a shepherd by the image of a shepherd taking and holding a young goat or a young lamb over their shoulders and walking them back to safety. The ancient king Hammurabi, perhaps you've heard that name in your history lessons, he used that kind of shepherd language for himself when he had it written down, these words: "The great gods called me, so I became the beneficent shepherd whose scepter is righteousness." They call in this language to speak of their rule, to speak of their care, to speak of their governance. David himself is called, as he is God's king in the Old Testament in Israel, he's described as such a shepherd king, a shepherd who became king and who then rules and protects and governs his people, the things he learned when he was caring for sheep. Listen to Psalm 78, 70 and 70 through 72. "He, God, chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. And with upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with skillful hand." When Psalm 23 begins with the assertion, "The Lord is my shepherd," David is telling us that he is secure. Why? Because the Lord is his king. The Lord is the one who is caring for him. The Lord is the one who is providing in his need. Now let's consider two things that he says about that shepherding care that I think can give us help when we face the threat or the fear of the lack of security in our life. David is going to show us throughout this psalm, and then the New Testament picks up on this as it speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, of two things that we need to know if we're going to be secure: that our shepherd is capable, and that our shepherd is committed. Capable to care for us and committed to do it. We need both of those. Think about it. We need both of those things. We might have a shepherd who's willing to care for us, but he's not capable. Like that 3-year-old young daughter who has a infant brother brought home from the hospital, and she looks at her younger brother and she wants to hold him and care for him, and she's willing to do it, but she's too young. She's not capable of actually caring enough to do it on her own. She still needs her parents to care for the baby, even though she would like to. She is willing, but she's not capable. But we also need to know that the one who is capable is also committed to us. I mean, imagine this. If you think about it, we're not secure if he's capable, our shepherd, but if he's not willing to do it, if he's unwilling to care for us, we need both. If he's capable but not committed to us to do what he can do, it'd be like that pro football player who comes to his high school game after many years and he watches his alma mater's team lose. he would be capable of going down there and winning the game for them. But he's not willing. It's not his place. He doesn't want to do it. Our shepherd needs to be capable, but he also needs to be willing in order for us to be secure. And that's what I want you to see this morning in this psalm and in what Jesus then says to us as he draws from this image and speaks about himself. Point two in your outline is that the Lord is a capable shepherd. He is able to provide what you need. You need to be sustained. He sustains and provides. Verse 2, you need correction and direction to be brought back into the right way. He is able to restore and to lead. Are you in deep anguish, walking through troubled times you don't know how to survive? He can walk with, he's able to walk with and to comfort. Verse 4, are you being torn down and rejected by others? Look at verse 5, he is able to lift you up and to celebrate you. Are you overcome by evil, overwhelmed by evil? He can ordain goodness and mercy for your life and bring you safely through to his Father's house. You see, unlike earthly kings who make promises and speak of protecting and caring for us, but then quickly get overthrown or hurry on to their own death. Not so the Lord, the eternal, glorious one who has both the longevity in his eternity and the power in his strength to provide for us in every need. David's confession is that the Lord is the one who makes him secure, and he is able to do all that he needs. It seems to me that David is saying two things about the way the Lord shepherds us here in this psalm. That his shepherding care comes to us. And I think this is why this is a confession of David's faith, not his sight fully seeing it all, but he's in the midst of these things, he's confessing it by faith. Because there's two ways here he indicates that the Lord cares for us. One is that he does deliver us from trouble and is able to rescue us from any trouble. And that's verses 2 and 3 speak of that delivering care of the Lord. He brings us to safe places. He is able to do that. Green pastures, still waters, restoration. But it's not the only way he shepherds us. There are times when he shepherds us by coming with us through the dangers, through the challenges, the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of enemies. Doesn't necessarily immediately change those situations for us, but walks with us through them. And his shepherding care comes both ways. The Christian faith doesn't say, when you trust in Jesus, you'll never have any more problems again. That's ultimately true one day when we're with him in glory. But for now, what the Christian faith says is, when I call in the name of the Lord, he is able. And he will deliver me if he chooses. And he does sometimes. But if he doesn't, he will be with me and walk with me through the days of trouble and danger until the day he comes to bring me to that place where there's no longer any risk, when I'm with him forever. Rescue and presence. He is able to do both, and they are both part of his shepherding care. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John 10, in the gospel account, Jesus now draws on this shepherd image when he comes, and he speaks of himself when he says, I am the good shepherd. When he does that, he's drawing on this royal image and claiming to be the king who is capable of providing security for his people. Many Christians, they are wrestling, struggling with this anxiety. And I want you to hear from this psalm and then from the words of Jesus that he is announcing and proclaiming that he is capable, whether it is by delivering or walking with you through the trouble you're facing and fearing, He is announcing that he is the king who is capable of securing and providing security for you. Again, I love how our shorter catechism summarizes this in question and answer 26. How does Christ perform the office of a king? How is he our shepherd? Well, he does that by subduing us to himself, so bringing us to faith in him, so we know him, where we didn't know him on our own. But more than that, he rules and defends us. And more than that, he restrains and conquers all his and our enemies. You see, he's active in the work of shepherding, caring, governing, ruling, delivering, walking with, bringing us to the place of peace. The Christian faith does not believe that when we trust in Jesus, he removes all the risks, takes us into a new condition where we no longer walk in them in this world. One day that will be true. But it confesses with David that the Lord is able, sufficient, to deliver and to be present with us until he brings us safely home. That's what that last reading in Revelation 7 it speaks of, those coming out of the great tribulation. And it speaks of that day. And he speaks of it in the shepherd language. They will hunger no more. They will neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them. That means they won't dry up and be shriveled up and die because of lack of water. Neither will the scorching heat will destroy them. But what? Why? For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will do what? He will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. If you are in Christ today, if you are calling on the name of the Lord today, my friends, the Lord is able to bring you to that day. And he will deliver you and he will walk with you until you are there. For Jesus is our shepherd and he is a capable shepherd. And so we can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We say that in those calm and peaceful days when we feel that security and safety, when the dangers seem far away. But we can say it in those days of difficulty and despair as well, because he is with us. Point number two, the second thing you need to know, or point number three, I'm sorry, the second part of the shepherding care of the Lord, the second thing you need to know is not only is he capable, but he's a committed shepherd, committed to all of his people, to be their shepherd and to do the work of a shepherd for them. In John 10, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, that's what he immediately promises. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is not only capable, but he is completely committed to being the shepherd of you, of his people. Do you know what Jesus is saying when he says he has come to lay down his life for the sheep? Of course, even on the night of the birth, even as he remembers, he has come for a purpose, for a mission. He has come ultimately to walk as we should have walked without sin, but then as the sinless one to take our sin and to go on to the cross and to die on the cross in our place, to bear our sins so that we might be set free from the condemnation of those sins. Yes, we know that, but do you see what he's saying here? As he tells us that he's come to go to the cross, he is saying to us, I am the kind of shepherd that will do whatever is necessary to make you secure. That's what he's promising you when he speaks of his coming to lay down his life for the sheep. That he will do whatever's necessary, even if it means that he will put himself at risk. I mean, think of it. John speaks of Jesus as the Word, the eternal Word, who was with the Father and who was the God, with God and was God from the beginning, the Creator, who then comes and takes on flesh in the incarnation. And what does that mean? It means that for the very first time in eternity, the Son of God is in a condition because He's placed Himself in our condition to walk with us, like us, that He is in a place of risk and danger Himself. And He is saying to us that He does not hesitate to do that, to rescue us. That even though He puts Himself at risk, and even though He knows it means He must die in order to accomplish His task as shepherd, that He will do it, and He will not hesitate to do it. And so as we sing of His coming, we sing of the with joy of His purpose, His intention, and His willingness to be our shepherd. You see, He gave up His security to achieve it for us. That's how committed He is to shepherd us in all of our needs. He speaks of the shepherd not as a hired hand, but as the one who loves the sheep. And He says, "I am the good shepherd," there in John 10. "I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Does that fill you with joy as you hear that? That your shepherd is not only capable, but devoted to do what He must do for you to feel and to be at peace, in safety? Does that give you confidence as you walk through those days of darkness and trouble? Does that give you encouragement to keep on praying for those loved ones who once have heard and been part of a gospel-believing church, but now seem so far away and lost? Jesus gave up His own security, put Himself in danger, faced enemies without safety, even when He knew they would attack and overcome Him to death. So deep His love for you, so deep His love for His people, all of His people. He is not only able, He is committed to you, to protect you. And if He is willing to do that, go to the cross for us, will He now let you go? Will He now allow you to be destroyed? That is, can anything separate you now from His capable and committed care, from His intentional love for you? No, indeed. Paul reflects on that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For now, as the risen King, this shepherd remains completely committed to you. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Christian, here is your King. Here is your shepherd. Do you know Jesus as your shepherd today? And if you do, are you finding your security in Him? At Christmas, the Christian faith celebrates that the Good Shepherd has come to give security in a dangerous world. This morning, in a few moments after the supper, we'll close our morning worship with the old carol that celebrates that we can find our security in Jesus. Will you take heed? Will you take up the song on your lips and sing it from your hearts this morning? Because the Lord has become your shepherd, and you know you shall not want, that mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen to those words. "God rest you, Mary." That is the old way of saying, may you be joyful and happy, everyone. "Let nothing you dismay." Nothing dismay. Why? Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray, to bring us back. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. O tidings, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and of joy. Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us in the darkness, in the despair, in the danger of this world, of the sin, of the flesh, of the devil. But you were willing to come and put your own Son at risk, sending him into this world, Lord Jesus, to walk among us at risk of from dangers, from troubles, from trials, from the garden's despair, and yet to deliver us because you are able, so committed you are to us. We thank you for your death on the cross to pay the penalty and for our cursed condition. We thank you for paying for the debt of our sin. We thank you, Lord, O Father, for raising him, the righteous one, to life, for setting him up and on the throne at your right hand. And we thank you for your ever faithful promise that you, O Lord, will shepherd us even until we are in your very presence, face to face. So come and comfort us in the midst of our trials and darknesses and struggles. Come and deliver us and give us your peace, for we are yours, and we commit ourselves and entrust ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.